I'm joined by Rob Gavin, a staff reporter for the Times Union. And if you could just recap, what is former District Attorney Joel Abelov being charged with? And what is the significance of this trial that is happening this week?
So Joel Abelov is charged with first degree perjury. It's a nonviolent felony in the first degree, which means technically speaking, he could theoretically be convicted and be sentenced to an indeterminate sentence of 2 1/3 to 7 years in prison. Because that's what a D nonviolent felony carries on the maximum end. I don't believe he has a criminal record as a district attorney. And I think because of that and prior service,
even let's say he's convicted of all counts, right? If he's convicted of that and the judge just gives him probation, if that's a possibility, doesn't give him any jail time, Joel Abelov would still lose his law license, because when you are convicted of a felony in New York State, it's automatically revoked. You automatically lose it. The other counts are the official misconduct, and I'll get to that in a second. But during this 2017 appearance, Joel Abelov testified that he gave immunity to an officer involved in an earlier shooting, which was not the case, according to what the prosecution has said. And as a result, that's a very specific, according to them, false testimony before the grand jury, which is not true. And we actually give the impression that this is that what happened in this case was not unusual. So they're saying that that was perjury. And again, first degree perjury at the top, that's the top count. A conviction on that, while it would be unrealistic to expect that he would serve or be sentenced to 2 1/3 to 7 years in prison, what would be certain is that a felony conviction would immediately mean that Joel Abelov's law license would be revoked. The other charges are official misconduct. Those are misdemeanor, A1 misdemeanors. That's the top misdemeanor charge, which technically, again, can carry up to a year in jail. Unrealistic that they probably give him jail time on that. The judge, by the way, has the option of acquitting Joel Abelov on the perjury charge and convicting him of the official misconduct charges. There's two counts there which are related to his handling of the grand jury process with Edson Thevenin. Now, if Mr. Abelov is convicted of those charges, he doesn't automatically lose his law license, but a conviction of official misconduct certainly could lead to a complaint from the grievance committee within the third department, which is the greater appellate. He would certainly risk the loss of his law license. Those are the legal risks for Joel Abelov. We mentioned, like, what does this mean in the grand scheme of things? If you've attended the trial, and obviously you have and I have, when you get to the courthouse, there's a regular crowd of people holding signs, "Justice for Edson Thevenin." There have been signs that say Black Lives Matter. There have been very strong opinions that this was a cover-up. I know at least one side, I believe, compared it to the George Floyd case. You know, this is a case that happened in 2016. You can only imagine what the reaction would be if this happened now. You know, the world we're in now, post-George Floyd, where these incidents are getting a lot more attention. And obviously, there's been protests around the country and calls for police reform. We've seen changes in New York. Now we have 50A was repealed, basically kept police personnel disciplinary records to be shielded, and that can no longer happen. You go back more than 4 years to April 17, 2016, and we have the Edson Thevenin case. What's really kind of something is that, you know, a grand jury process is secret. We really only know about this because of the efforts, you know, when he responded, and there's a federal lawsuit involved in this case too, that has come out. I mean, we don't generally know what happens in a grand jury room. We know the results. We know when someone is given a no bill and cleared. You know, you look back at some of the cases in recent years, like, you know, Michael Brown, you know, that case, the police officer in that case was cleared by a grand jury. There's been cases where people have asked to put sunlight on that process. We don't know what questions are typically being asked. What's fascinating about the trial of Joel Abelov is now we're getting to see how the case is made. This case is, in a lot of ways, it's like a huge
freedom of information request that's been given to the people, albeit after a horrific incident in which we're able to see how police and the district attorney's office, a former district attorney in Troy, handled a police incident. And what we're seeing is that, you know, a lot of what people may have suspected, some of those things obviously have come out. That's true, that we saw from the moment an attorney general investigator gets to the scene, he's not out of his car yet. And a colleague he knows, who is a Troy police captain, comes up to him and says, let me tell you this right now, this is a clean shoot. You know, right from the beginning, not wanting any part of it. The evidence showed, alleged that, you know, the assistant chief, the former assistant chief and police chief in Troy, refused to provide information to the attorney general's office. And obviously, we as reporters, we have to obviously work to try to get information. And I, locally, and also when I worked in New York City, I've dealt with, it's a real struggle to get information sometimes in the police. Not always, but sometimes it can be. But what's interesting is to hear that these are investigators, fellow criminal investigators, as well as in the case of Mitchell Porofsky, you know, a long-term, I think over 20-year Troy police officer, and he's being kicked off his team in Troy. So it just shows you some of the climate that we're talking about here. I'm actually surprised this case isn't getting more attention. People will ask about what happens in a police incident. That case goes to the grand jury. This case goes a step further, and the person who put the case before the grand jury has now been charged and is now on trial. So when you talk about calls for police reform, at least in New York, criminal justice reforms, or, you know, the fact that there's an attorney general on trial for perjury, you know, that's not something we used to see by a lot of years ago. And I think that's definitely significant. It'll be, if there's a conviction in this case, or if there's an acquittal in this case, we'd be, not to mention, it's a lot of pressure, I would think, to deliver a fair verdict, obviously, on Judge Nichols, because at one point he did dismiss this case before it was reinstated. But again, obviously, that does happen, and that's what he felt at the time, and now he's hearing evidence.
And what do we expect to see coming up in the trial this week?
Well, the defense will get the case, and we've already heard some of the people who they're going to call. And I think we're going to see Joel Abloff. I think we're going to see Jessica Hall, the former number two person in that office. I see her testify as well. And then the case will go, instead of the jury, it will go to Judge Nichols.
Just one last question. How do you see the outcome of this trial impacting the Thevenin family lawsuit?
And I don't know all the specifics of this civil case, but I know in generally speaking, any way you look at it, if he's convicted of any of these charges, that I would imagine that would hurt him in the civil case for sure. You know, you mentioned, you know, the family of Edson Thevenin. There's been a lot of supporters, and I mentioned there's been people outside. But we all should also mention that every day the mother of Edson Thevenin has been there. She's been a regular presence at the Gertha Dapis, if I'm saying that correctly. She has been there. Mr. Thevenin's brother has been there. She's been there on a daily basis. So they're definitely very, very in tune in this case. They're every day.
Rob Gavin, so much to talk about, but thank you for joining us today on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Anytime. Happy to be here.